When I was praying about the lesson, the last time that I spoke, we were talking about Samuel, and we were talking about how when Eli said that the voice of the Lord was rare in those days, and how it was, there was a season. And so God wanted me to go on to preach on the purpose of seasons in our lives. And so I wanted to speak about the seasons. What are they? What season am I in? What can I learn from my season? How long is this season going to last? And is it from God? And so Webster defines seasons as spring, summer, fall, and winter. But it also is a period that is characterized by particular conditions. And that is to become seasoned and matured and hardened. And so I think what's happening around us right now and what we're going through every day in our lives can be a season. And we need to recognize what season we're in and what we need to do to move forward from this season to get us to the next season. And when we lived in Florida, we learned a lot about the hurricane season. It was June 1st through November 30th. And so we had to understand the importance of that season, because when the hurricane was coming, you had to be prepared. You had to be ready for that to come. And what we ended up doing, we began preparations weeks before the season even started. And so, you know, we were gathering water. We were getting our canned foods. We were, you know, getting gasoline for our generator to make sure that, you know, we'd have enough if we did lose electricity. And so, you know, there's a preparation period that we had to go through. We ended up filling up our bathtubs with water, because that was one thing that it's like, well, if you need water, because then I thought, oh, well, I need water for my toilet. Well, I could get it out of my pool to flush the toilets, you know, but for the water to drink and to cook from, it's like, so I'm like, okay, let's fill our bathtubs with water, you know, right before we know that it's going to hit us. And so, you know, even though we may not have known if it was going to affect our particular area, we made precautions. And so we knew that the season was coming. And so we had to prepare ourselves for that season. And, you know, kind of like this pandemic that we're going through, you know, all of a sudden, you know, what was the shortage of? Toilet paper. You know, same thing with hurricane season. It's like the water was gone and the toilet paper was gone. Those were the, you know, the top two things. You know, and then people were scrambling to get gas. And so that's why you saw the long lines on TV and things like that. And so, you know, we can't wait till the last minute to say, okay, God, now I need you. You know, we have to abide in him, and he has to instill within us so that we're ready in season and out of season all the time. So the most famous scripture in the Bible that talks about the seasons is from wise King Solomon, and that's from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. But I'm only going to read a few. It says, a time, there is a season, or an appointed time for everything, and there is a time for every delight and event or purpose under heaven. A time to give birth and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to throw away stones and a time to gather the stones. And verse 11 says, yet God has made everything beautiful in his own time. Jeremiah 1:5 says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew, or I chose you before you were born, because I set you apart. So everything that God wants to do in your life was already decided, and your destiny was created in eternity. And so you were created to fulfill his purpose and to go from season to season walking in the kingdom of God. But we always want the details, don't we? We want God to tell us when, where, how, why, how long am I going to go through this? We want insight into our future. We want to know ahead of time so that we can be prepared. But sometimes, even if we knew ahead of time, would that even really change us? Sometimes it doesn't. So our attitudes in our seasons is very, very important. And it can determine how long that we will be in that season. And we know this from the Israelites. because they wandered around in the wilderness for 40 years. That wasn't God's intention for them to be there that long. But, you know, because of their murmuring, their complaining, their disobedience, their fear, their doubt, you know, that is what kept them there for that long. But that was never God's intention. But because of his love, we knew God was with them. He sent the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. He provided manna. He didn't let their shoes wear out for the 40 years, their clothes. So even though they were going through this wilderness period, God was still providing. He was close to them. And so we have to remember that whatever season we go through, he's with us. He is so close to us. We just have to reach out and to get intimate with him and to hear his voice, because he's going to give us hope and help through that season. Paul and Silas is another one. When they were thrown in jail, what did they do? They praised God. So there's different things that can help us get through our seasons. And, you know, it's prayer, it's praise and worship, because that will uplift us, that will draw us closer to God, and that will immediately take us into his presence. And so, you know, just be mindful of those things. So in John 16, verse 33, it says, Jesus said that in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. And so when I was looking at the Bible references for the seasons, of course, there are so many. And I know you had said something about what the prophets were saying, what season we're in. There's a lot. And we need to pray and discern, because God can give us the times and what season that we're in. And so we really need to recognize what that is. But going through the Bible, I saw some references. And this is what I talk about, is the growing season, the wilderness season, the pruning season, and the harvest season. And so the growing season, it's a season of change. It brings its own unique challenges. And this is a time when we are being stretched, and we're going places that maybe we have never gone before, or God is taking us into something that's very unfamiliar. And so we have a time of stretching us, and we're growing. And God wants us, part of the growing season, he wants us to grow up. There are so many times I want to tell people, you need to grow up and be mature in the Lord, you know, because so many times they're babies, and it's like, how long have you been a baby? You know, it's like, it's time for you to mature and grow up in the Lord. And, you know, but can't do that. So that's my mercy has to come out, you know, because sometimes it's like, wow, you know. But again, you know, this is why so many times they're in the season for so long. It's like, man, this is not where God wants you. He wants you to grow up in him, and he's getting ready to take you to a different place in your life, but yet you're not ready because you haven't matured into where he wants to take you. So grow up. So this is a growing up period. One thing that we feel like too during this time is maybe we feel like we're not equipped. So when we're going through a growing season, God's maybe given us new vision, new direction, or calling us to something that we've never done before. But you're like, well, I can't do this. I'm not good enough. Or surely he'd call Sharon to that, not me. But yet, you know what? God has given you a dream, vision, and your purpose for you. Don't compare yourself to other people, because your vision that God's given you and your purpose is for you. It is strategically DNA of you and what he's called you to do. And so it's don't compare yourself to other people. So one thing that during this period we have to know is just to grow and get into the Word of God, and to read and to study, and to listen to his voice and ask God, what are you showing me during this time? I know that when New Point Church was established, you know, this was a season of new beginnings for us. And we were being stretched. God was preparing us for something that we had never walked into before. But yet, if we look back in our other seasons, we can see the preparation of how he was leading us up to this point. And so you will be able to look back and go, now I understand. I know because of where I'm at now is because of the other seasons that I've been in the past. But you have to walk through those seasons in order to move forward to get to the place where God wants you to be. So he was positioning us, and we had to trust. We had to have confidence. Psalms 37, 23 through 24 says that the Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him. Though he may stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. When my grandson Lakin, when he's standing up and he wants to stand up, but he can't walk. And so we take his hands, and many of you that have grandchildren, you know this. We take his hands and he begins to walk and move his feet. But the moment I take my hand away, he immediately stops and looks up at me like, "Grandma, what you doing? Give me your hand." And so I have to reach back my hand, and then he continues to move forward. And so that's how we need to be with God. Because you know what? No matter what we're going through, we need to make sure we're holding on to him and where he's taking us, because if we let go of him, many times we want to just keep moving, but no, that's not the direction. We're not ready. We're not mature enough to get to that point. So we need to keep holding on to him and keep moving forward in the direction that he has for us. And it's through him we have our identity. And so when he looks at Grandma, he's like, "Okay, Grandma, I can trust you. Keep holding on to my hand. Keep that." So verse 37 in Psalms 37, it says, "But you can tell who are blameless and spiritually mature. What a different story with them. They will have a peaceful and prosperous future with a happy ending." To me, that's walking in the kingdom. Because, you know, when we get to that place where we are spiritually mature and we have a different attitude of the season that we're going through, you know, we have a different story. They're like, how can you be happy during all this stuff that's going on with you, but you got a great attitude about it? See, that's our testimony as Christians. You know, when people see that within us, and so we can have a peaceful and prosperous future and a happy ending because we're engraved in him, and he's leading and he's guiding us. And so sometimes when life happens, you know, we are so quick to spout out and to speak and say the wrong things and do the wrong things. But you know what? The Bible says we should not be swayed by the trappings of this world. And so we have to reflect God's character in everything that we do. And I'm not saying we're going to be perfect, because we're going to mess up. Trust me, we're going to mess up, because our emotions come out and then we're like, "Oh, wow, I should not have said that. I was not showing Jesus. I was, you know." And it's like, again, you're going to mess up. You're going to say things. But, you know, be mindful, because, you know, when you learn to be slow to speak and really say, "Okay, God, shut my mouth," just like Daniel in the lion's den. God shut the mouths of the lions. They could have devoured him. They could, but God, you know, when the king says, "Hey, Daniel, how are you? How is your God? Did your God deliver you?" He said, "Yes, he shut the mouths of the lion." And so he can do that with us, because we sometimes I need my mouth shut. So God's like, "Okay, just shut up. Don't say a word. Don't say a word." And so just pray and ask God to do that, because he will. So God dwells within us as we begin to draw closer to him. And so during this time, let's grow in the knowledge of the word, because that's going to mature us. That's going to help us with any fear, doubt, unbelief that ends up coming our way to cloud our minds. And so when we're spending time with him, we're actually becoming more confident in who we are in him, and we are being shaped in his likeness. And so just be strengthened during this growing period, because he's got a plan, he's got a purpose, and he's getting ready to yield fruit in this next season for you. Pruning season. Oh, that's a good one, right? Pruning season. Pruning season, this time can be very vulnerable for you. excuse me. This is when I think the enemy will come and whisper in your ear and tell you you're not good enough. Again, it's almost similar to the growing season, because the enemy doesn't want you to grow. He doesn't want you, you know, it's the lies constantly that's coming in and bombarding our mind, because that's how he wants to bring discouragement, despair, hopelessness, and we lose our faith. And so we tend to draw back from the purpose of God in our lives. And so this season can affect our relationships. It can affect our finances, our kids, our health, things like that. And we become weary. We get into despair. We're like, God, there's no way you're here. You're not in this. I don't hear your voice. But we have to remember that no matter what, God has given us vision for the future. He's given us vision for the season and the purpose that we're in right at this moment. And so we have to begin walking in the freedom and the knowledge of what he has called us to be and walk into it. And sometimes I think during this time too is when we're not trusting God, it's almost like we're saying, I don't trust you. I don't trust you with my life. I don't, you know, and I don't want to get to that place. I want to say, God, I trust you no matter what is going on around me. You know, I know that I can be victorious through you. So help, you know, with the emotional aspect. I think so many of us women need to do that because our emotions just kind of blurt out and stuff. And so we need to almost be conscious of how we're feeling and why we're feeling the way we're feeling. Because you know what? God is close to us. Yes, things hurt, but it can put us to a place where we're in total despair and depression hits us, because you know things are rough. It's tough. The things that's going on in people's families right now that I know, I mean, they are walking a hard, hard walk. And so there's a pruning process that he wants to take off of us, and we have to be willing to let him do that. And you know, there's things in us that he says, Janice, this is not what I want to have in you. I've got something better for you. We need to work on this. And so in Hebrews, it says, verse 12, 11 through 13, all discipline seems to be painful at the time. Yet later it will produce a transformation of character, bringing a harvest of righteousness and peace to those who yield to it. So be made strong, even in your weaknesses, by lifting your tired hands in prayer and worship, and strengthen your weak knees. For as you keep walking forward on God's path, all your stumbling ways will be divinely healed. And that was out of the Passion Translation. And I like how that says, because he is trying to transform our character and our likeness into him, because that's what's going to bring people in. So many times we hear people say, oh, the hypocrisy of them, you know, that's not a good testimony for the church, you know, because that's what they think Christians are. They're hypocrites. They're all hypocrites. I've seen how they live out in the world, you know, but there's the grace, but there's also the reflection. I want to be Christ-like. When people look at me, I want them to say, wow, do I see Christ in her? You know, and that's what I think all of our desire is. And so we have to be made strong, and we can only do that by abiding in him. John 15:2 says, he cares for the branches connected to me by lifting and propping up the fruitless branches and pruning every fruitful branch to yield a greater harvest. I want God to create a greater harvest in me. I want the fruits of the Spirit to just be overflowing out of me. And so, and I think y'all do too, you know, this is just something that we desire more than anything. Pruning in the Greek, I thought this was interesting. Pruning in the Greek means cleansing. And of course, cleansing means to remove the dirt, to remove guilt, or to remove people. So do you ever wonder why sometime in different seasons people come and go out of your life? God will do that. And sometimes it's okay that those people leave during that time, because people in your life can drain you spiritually, and they can physically make you ill and unhealthy because of everything that they're doing, that, you know, the complaining, the murmuring, the cussing, you know, whatever comes at you, constantly discouraging you, you don't need them in your life. You can pray for them, but if you don't understand how to set boundaries, that's when you just need to let them go. Now, if you're strong in the Lord and you know your boundaries in Him, God will give you wisdom. And I know Sharon's preached on the boundaries and stuff, and she keeps saying she's going to preach on that, and I'm still waiting. So, because boundaries is very important as women, because, you know, there has to be a boundary. You cannot take on somebody else's offense or someone else to do damage to you, you know, spiritually, because they can bring you down. They really can, and it can affect you. And I, you know, I want to surround myself with people that encourage me and pray for me and uplift me and speak God and the word of the Lord in me. Those are the people I want to hang out with, you know. So John 5. So actually it's John 15:5. I am the sprouting vine and you are the branches. As you live in union with me as your source, fruitfulness will stream from within. But when you are separated, or I'm sorry, when you live separated from me, you are powerless. So let me read that again. So as you live in union with me as your source, fruitfulness will stream from within you. But when you live separated from me, you are powerless. And so we need to understand that when we get away from God and we don't allow God to be first in every situation, because we need His power to be able to move forward and to and if we don't have that, we're powerless, and that is not where God wants us to be. And so we know we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against the principalities and powers and those things, but we just need to know that we've got the power in us. He dwells in us. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives, dwells, abides in us. And so in order for us to do anything, we have to remain in Him so that we can continue to have the power to defeat the enemy with the word of God. And we need to be able to keep going forward and not allow the enemy to take us back into our past and take us to a place where the old dead stuff, it's like, no, I want to live. I want to have life and have it more abundantly. And so we need to do that with God and make sure He's always first and foremost in our lives, no matter what we're going through, no matter what season. So it's not a time to retreat. It's a time to refocus. Refocus on what the vision that God is giving you. Again, getting close to Him, he'll be able to tell you those things. The vision, the dreams, your purpose in this season, and then what He's taking you into the next season. And we need to make sure that I've got here, we need to make sure we're connected to the vine, because He's downloading things in us. He's speaking to us. He's revealing revelation to us. And so as we stay connected, He's the source of life. He's going to produce life in us. And He's going to get the power, the glory, and the honor in everything that we do. So don't stop. Don't look back. Just keep moving forward, because it's important that we do that during this season. The next season is the wilderness season. How many of y'all have felt like, man, I'm always in the wilderness season more than any other season of our lives, right? Well, during this season, you know, we can expect a spiritual dryness. And so most people feel like they're, you know, God's far away. He's not listening. He appears to be silent to me. I'm not getting my prayers answered. I'm going through this and nothing's changed. And again, everything starts affecting our thoughts, our emotions, our feelings. And so we begin to get angry, or we shut down, or we become discouraged, or we allow fear to keep us in bondage, in captivity. And so we don't want to be in that place. That is not where God desires us to be. And so we cannot allow the lies of the enemy to bombard our mind and our thinking during this wilderness period. because this, we know this is where the Israelites just kept murmuring, complaining. It was like, you read it, and I just don't understand. I'm like, they saw miracle after miracle, and they still, I'm like, ah, I just don't understand, you know, why they would still do that. But, you know, they did. And so we got to remember that during this time, we're not alone. God's always with us. So we have to be able to resist the lies of the enemy during this season, because we are not alone, and we're going to be victorious. But we have to be careful with our behavior might keep us in this season a lot longer than what God is intending us to be in. So God is the closest during this time. So even when we think he's far away, he's really the closest. So Psalms 34:18 says that the Lord is near to the brokenhearted, and he saves the crushed spirit. So you've got to know that during this time, he is the closest. When you're on your face and you're crying out and the emotions of the tears and everything that you're going through, God's holding you. He's drawing you into himself, and he's saying, I hear you. I am not silent. I've heard your prayers. Just hang on. Give it to me. Let me have control so that I can move on your behalf. But he is holding us, and you just got to know that. So this is the time to press in to the Spirit of God. Understand that this season of the wilderness is not going to last forever. It's going to pass. And this season, you feel like so many times I'm at my breaking point, or I'm at my weakest point, but God is there. Paul spoke in 2 Corinthians 12:9-10, and he says, but he answered me, my grace is always enough for you, and my power finds its full expression through your weakness. So I will celebrate my weaknesses, for when I'm weak, I sense more deeply the mighty power of Christ living in me. So I'm not defeated by my weakness, but delighted. For when I feel my weakness and endure mistreatment, when I am surrounded with troubles on every side and face persecution because of my love for Christ, I am made yet stronger. For my weakness becomes a portal or a door or an entrance to God's power. That's so good. And that's in that Passion Translation as well. Daniel 2:21, it says, he, God, is the one who changes the time and the seasons. So we have to know that the seasons that we go through, God is the one that will change the seasons and the times for us. And this is a time when he establishes kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and greater knowledge to those who have understanding. It is he who reveals the profound and the hidden things, and he knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. And that's Daniel 2:21. So many of you know my son Ryan. When he moved back to Illinois, God gave him a job. It was a good job for him. He ended up losing his job, and he called me, and he goes, Mom, I don't know what to do. I don't even know why they let me go, and they didn't really have a reason for him. And so it was just a really hard and trying time for him and his wife, and they just had a baby. And he goes, you know, Mom, I'm going to try and get unemployment. And so he applied. They rejected him. I applied again. They rejected him. Then he tried to get medical assistance for Sarah and the baby and himself, and it came back with a letter stating that he wasn't a U.S. citizen. And so, I mean, it was like, you know, one thing after another that was affecting him, and his faith was being tested. And then finally, you know, he called them, and they're like, well, we didn't send you a letter stating you aren't a citizen. And so, well, I'm reading it right here, you know. And so all this stuff was going against him. And he goes, Mom, I only have enough money in my savings for 12 weeks to pay for all of our bills and our mortgage and everything like that. And he said, just pray. And he said, because I'm going to fight this. I'm going to fight to get my unemployment. And so he ended up contacting a lawyer, and $500 is what he had to pay. When you don't have a job, $500 is kind of a lot of money to pay to a lawyer. But, you know, he talked to Ryan. He said, I think we've got a good case for you. And so to make the long story short, he ended up, of course, appearing. It was video conferencing kind of thing. Actually, they didn't see faces, but it was on telephone. And so the judge, it appeared that his work didn't really have their ducks in a row, and kind of asked HR why they let him go, and she didn't know, and just, it was kind of weird. And so anyway, the judge kind of told him, says, well, in 3 days, you'll get my verdict. And so he called me, says, Mom, I'll know something in 3 days. And I said, Ryan, I'm reminded of what happened with Jesus. I said, they crucified him. They made all these accusations against him. And I said, and 3 days later, what did we see? Victory and the resurrection. And I said, we're claiming that for the situation, that you're going to get your unemployment. So he was 1 week away. And he called me, goes, Mom, I got a text from my bank that said, so it was like 11 weeks had gone by. So during this whole period, it took 11 weeks. His savings depleting every moment, 11 weeks. And he called me and goes, Mom, I got a notification from my bank stating that there's a large sum of money that was deposited. And so he said he won the case. And one thing about this employer is they have never paid unemployment ever in their history. They've always denied every person's claim. Ryan goes, they messed with the wrong person this time. And so Ryan ended up getting his unemployment. And so, you know, we give God the praise and the glory and the victory for that. And so it was nice, you know, so now I'm paying all my insurance for the rest of the year. And during this time, he's trying to get his home inspection license. And so he passed that. And so he's trying to go a different career. And so, you know, it's God's working. But I tell you what, he called me the day that he lost his job, and he was crying. He goes, Mom, I don't know what to do. You know, why did God move us here for me to lose my job? And, you know, things like that. And so it's a hard time when you're going through stuff. But God is faithful. Yes. And there was a group of people that we contacted, the church, and Tammy's church was praying, and our church was praying. A lot of people were praying for Ryan during this time. We were in prayer the moment that he was appearing before the judge and stuff. And so this is why it's so important during this time that we as believers come together. I know they want to. I know some people are still living in fear and they don't, but I'll tell you what, we need the body of Christ. We need one another. We need encouragement. And when we're going through something, to say, I need you. I'm going through this. Can you pray with me? Can you uphold, kind of like Aaron, upholding the hands, you know, during the times of battle, so that we're not defeated and we can just lean on one another. And that is what's so important right now during this time. James 1:3-5 says, for you know that when your faith is tested, it stirs up in you the power of endurance. And then as your endurance grows even stronger, it will release perfection into every part of your being until there is nothing missing and nothing lacking. I love that. Isaiah 55:11 says, so shall my words be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing where I sent it. That's the part that's so important with prayer, and how we're speaking and we're declaring the word of God in every situation that we're going through. Deuteronomy 8:7 says, for the Lord thy God bringeth thee into good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of the valleys and the hills. And this tells me that no matter what season it is, whether you're going through a season of hurt, needing healing, the wilderness. I mean, God is there to provide the brooks. He was there with the Israelites. He provided the manna. He provided the water, everything that they needed. He's there. He will provide for it. Just stand strong and have faith to believe, you know, that he's going to do it and declare it. Our words are so important when we start declaring the word of God in every situation, and he will perform it. He will perform it. His word is truth. It is life. So sometimes we have to pray and we have to ask God to reveal the source of why we might be in a particular season. Sometimes we may have brought it on ourselves. Maybe it wasn't us. Maybe it was a situation that you got yourself involved in that puts you in that time of season. So our faith is always being tested, but let faith arise and let it bring us greater intimacy with him during this time, because he's always going to deliver us. He's always going to take us from this season to this season, but there's always a purpose of the season that we're going, that we're in order to take us to the next. So 1 Peter 1:7 says, these trials have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. So that no matter what we're going through, he's going to bring it about for our good. He works all things together for our good according to his purpose. And so stand on the word of God, because it's life, it's hope. It'll take us into that next season so that we don't get into despair and we don't get into feeling hopeless and allowing the enemy to do that. When we're in the word of God, fear can't even stand. It can't even enter our minds because we're with him. And it's like, no, this is what the word of God says. This is whom I have believed in him. You know, he's far above everything that I can ask, think. So get with God. Spend time with him. Get into praise. Get into worship. Get alone in your closet. The intimacy with God is so important during any season that you're in. Harvest season. Harvest season. We love harvest season, right? During harvest season, we're reaping the benefits of what we planted in the previous seasons. And so this ends up sometimes being a time that we're busy because of everything that's coming, and we're being overwhelmed by the blessings and the fruitfulness that's coming forth in our lives. And so Leviticus 26:4 says, I will send you rain in its season, and the ground will yield its crops and the trees their fruit. It's always a time of blessing. And Psalms 1:2-3 says, what delight comes to the one who follows God's ways. He won't walk in the step with the wicked, nor share the sinner's way, nor be found sitting in the scorner's seat. His passion is to remain true to the word of I am, meditating day and night on the true revelation of light. He will be standing firm like a flourishing tree planted by God's design, deeply rooted by the brooks of bliss, bearing fruit in every season of life. He is never dry, never fainting. He's ever blessed and he's prosperous. So this tells me, no matter what season I'm in, I have the assurance that God is always with me. He's going to teach me something in this season. And most importantly, he's going to show his faithfulness in every season that I'm in. And so I'm going to be victorious because of his power that lives and abides in me. But my obedience is necessary in order to move forward. So I don't want to take a step forward without holding on to his hands and knowing that in the progress of me moving, I'm always in him. I live and have my being. So God's grace is sufficient. So recognize which season you're in. Shift your thought process. Always know that God is for me. He's with me. He's working. Even when we don't see it. I love that song. Even when we don't see it, he's working. So seasons will come. Seasons will go. But no matter what season I'm in, I can always walk in peace, and I don't have to walk in fear. John 14 says, don't worry or surrender to your fear, for you believed in God. Now trust and believe in me. Maybe you've been through seasons where you think that, you know, I haven't seen a harvest in a really long time. And you're like, I don't think I'll ever see a harvest. I don't think it'll ever happen. And so the disappointments end up really lessening our faith. And so we start feeling like anything that we're doing, we're not seeing the faithfulness of God. And it's like, no, it's all in God's timing and everything. And I know there's a story, I'm trying to remember, I didn't write it down here, I thought about it before I came. It was a story about, it's the movie, Facing the Giants. Have y'all seen that movie, Facing the Giants? I love that movie. And during Facing the Giants, it talks about this football player, or the coach, and he basically has this losing team. But yet, he has faith enough to believe that no matter what, that God can turn this team around. And so they're playing against the Giants. They were the Eagles. And so they're playing against the Giants, the number one team and everything. And during this whole process, him and his wife is trying to have a baby. And just nothing is happening. He's getting discouraged. He's ready to just give up. And toward the end, they end up, of course, winning. And he's, throughout their whole season of working out, he keeps telling them, tell me what is impossible with God? Nothing is impossible. What is impossible with God? Nothing is. Every player, nothing is impossible with God. And so they end up winning the season. And when he gets home, his wife, you know, he comes to her and she basically says, hey, you're on the winning team. And he said, yeah, but she said, you're also on the daddy team. And he begins to cry and he says, you mean I'm going to be a dad? He's going to be a dad. And so God just, and at that point he just kneeled and he says, God, I'm overwhelmed because of everything that God was doing in his life, because he was at a point of giving up. But yet God was saying, don't give up. And at one point in the movie, he had a guy just show up at his desk, and he just stood in front of him and he read the word of God, and he goes, God told me I'm supposed to read this to you. But it was all about don't give up, and to know that God is in this and he is going to make you victorious. And so this season of you know, just being here and the harvest, God is going to get us to a point where we are so overwhelmed by his goodness and his faithfulness and everything that he's going to put in our life. So just know that all those prayers that you've been praying, you're going to see it. You're going to see it. And so just have the faith to believe that. So don't worry. We know in Romans 8:28, it says he's working all things together for my good according to his purpose. Hebrews 12:2 says to keep my eyes on Jesus, the pioneer, the protector, the completer or finisher of my faith. So before we go to us, before a season comes, we need to discern. We need to declare. We need to ask God, what do you want me to learn from this season? God's going to prepare us. He's going to talk to us. And he's going to tell us, you know, God, what do you want me to learn during this season? Because that's the biggest thing, is when we're going through something, God's wanting to teach us. He's wanting us to learn something through it. And so we need to get to the place where we're not so rebellious that we're unwilling to hear what God wants us to do and unwilling to change something in our life that God is wanting to do a work in us. So we need to see through a lens of faith. If God is for me, who can be against me? There's so many scriptures that kept coming. I'm like, man, God, I got so many scriptures. But it's like, I know, right? It was just, they just kept coming. So, but again, the Israelites wandered around in the desert for so many years. God's always with them. His grace continued, even though they complained. and they doubted. Seasons changed, but God did not. So don't allow your season to be longer than what God has for you. Remember, your season is temporary. I know I've said that over and over again, but it's temporary. Allow yourself to learn and to mature spiritually, and let it build your faith. Let it push you toward God, not away from God. Let this be a time of complete trust, dependence on Him, because He's going to make us victorious in every season. So we have to allow Him to do the work in us and through us. And so we have to be prepared for the next season. We have to know that what I'm learning in this season is because of what's coming in the next season. And so I want to learn everything that I can in this season so that I can be I could be fruitful, I can be a witness, I can be everything that God wants me to do to be effective in my ministry, in my dealings with my husband, with my friends, with everything that's coming at me. It's so important to know what God wants me to learn here, because He's going to take us there, but He's not going to take us there until we learn what we're supposed to do here, you know? And so everything depends on us, really, to the point of, God, I don't want to be rebellious. I don't want to not get into Your word. I don't want to have these negative things in my life keep me from being positive and seeing Your victory in this situation. Because sometimes we can get so negative about everything, you know, and God's like, guess what? You're going to stay here a little bit longer because you haven't learned what I want you to learn. And so I want to get to the point where I'm out of that wilderness season. You know, we know that the Israelites, the whole generation, never even saw the promise of God. You know, he told them, I'm taking you to a different land. I promise a land flowing with milk and honey. This is where this place is I have for you. I want to take you there. But yet they weren't able to get there. And so wherever God is wanting to take us in the next season, I want to go there. I want what God has for me. I want to be blessed. I want to be able to minister. So if He's going to use me in this way here, I want to be able to be effective for Him. But if I'm not willing to submit myself and submit my flesh to God, He's not going to lead us there, and we're not going to be effective. And so I just want to encourage us to always just be in the Word of God. No matter what we're going through, the Word of God is life. It's truth. It's going to take us from victory to victory. And we're going to have, you know, we'll be prosperous. We're going to be victorious. We're going to have a different outcome. Our attitudes is going to be different. You can always tell, because I've said this in the past, and I'm grouchy. It's like, man, I need to get in the Word of God. I'm grouchy. You know, I need God to change my attitude. And the Word of God is an attitude adjustment. It really is. And so when you're in those times of despair and you're grouchy and you can feel that you're grouchy, we can blame our hormones, we can blame our menopause, we can blame it all, but ultimately, it's what's in our heart. And God wants to change that, because He does not want us to affect other people, because, you know, our husbands is a big thing. Oh, man. They get the brunt of it all, don't they? Sometimes they get the good, the bad, and the ugly of Janice. Because there was one time Barry was like, man, you are grouchy. I said, I know I am, and I think it's menopause. But that was an excuse. How many times do we make excuses for our behavior? And it was like, I had to get to the point where I left. I left the house, and it was like, okay, God, I am sorry. I don't know what's going on with me. I don't know why I'm so grouchy. I hate that I'm grouchy. And if this is hormones, God, take this from me, because I do not want to be this way. And so, you know, I had to come back to my husband saying, honey, I am so sorry. You're right. I was ugly to you, and I'm sorry. And so many times we have to just understand that whatever we're going through, you know, be mindful. I wasn't showing love and compassion and Christ to him during that moment. He was seeing the enemy rise up within me, and I was just being this ugly person. And it's like, no, that's not who I want to be. I want to be that nurturer, that supporter, that friend that he can always talk to. And I don't have to raise my voice. I don't have to yell. I don't have to scream. I don't have to, you know, come down upon him about anything. And so just be mindful of everything that you go through, every season that you're in. Say, God, what season am I in? Help me to discern what season I'm in. Where are you taking me? What do you want me to learn in this season so that I can be effective in the next? So that was it. And I'm losing my voice today. So, but yeah. I've got this last sentence. It says, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. And that was a scripture that we read earlier. And so, you know, my prayer, again, is just allow God to do the work in us. We got to surrender and say, okay, God, whatever you want to do in me, do. If I'm going through a growing season, God, help me to mature. If I'm going through a pruning season, God, yes, it hurts. You reveal the ugliness about something inside of me or something that you want to change in me. But God, I'm willing to let it go. I'm willing to change. I'm willing to let you do the work in my life. The wilderness season, you know, anything that we're going through, our family members, just know that God's close. He's with us. He's there. He's going to bring us to a place of promise, of his promise, of victory, and stuff. So, but yeah. Anyway.
It's an excellent word.
Yeah. It's kind of short.
Well, that's okay.
Yeah. I don't know if you want. Did I talk an hour? Oh, wow, I did talk an hour. Okay. So it wasn't long.
It wasn't short. It wasn't long.
Seems long. But I don't know if you want to interject anything.
Well, when you gave that scripture in James 1, I was thinking of another scripture at that particular time. And it's the one, and I can't tell you what the address is. It's the one that talks about how our trials produce character, and the character produces perseverance.
Right.
And the perseverance creates hope. And as I was sitting here, I just felt like the Lord was telling all of us, but I believe the church in general, to persevere. This is a time that the church really needs to persevere because of everything that's going on in the world, everything that's going on around us. And just like Janice said, I don't know when I have ever heard so many negative reports from immediate families of terrible things that are going on, or things that are happening in families that are just devastating. I mean, they're not good news type things. Mm-hmm. And so those times of trial are the hardest ones because they come and the enemy is right there to lurk right in our doorstep, to get our emotions stirred,
right,
to get us out of that place of perseverance, because she was talking about don't give up.
Yeah.
And that's what it's all about, because when we are in that one season that he was talking about where we need to just be patient,
right,
we've got to let patience have its perfect work in us.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that's not easy. And letting go isn't easy.
Right.
Sometimes we've really got to give ourselves a talking to let go of whatever this thing is that's trying to take us out or take us down. And we just had an incident last night in prayer that is a perfect example of this. But you still got to let go. And one of the things in all of my years of walking with the Lord, I've learned a few things. One is that when I can't let go of something, there's something in me that won't let it let go.
Yeah.
And so you pray and ask God why you can't let go of something. Why is this bugging me this much? Why is this just not going away? Because it'll cause us to get tied in our soul realm to that thing.
Yeah.
And then we're going to really have issues because it'll be living with us like an old familiar friend. And so I've asked God, reveal to me what it is you're after in me.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you what, we are prideful creatures.
Yes.
And that's what caused Satan to fall.
Right.
and that's what caused Adam to fall. He fell into the very same things that the enemy was already in. And so pride is in us, whether we are feeling bad about ourselves and we want to be better, or whether we feel exalted above others. It's both of them are pride, no matter which way you go. And so many times something will happen that will hit our reputation.
Mm, yeah.
Or will make us feel ashamed.
Mm-hmm.
And God says there's no place in my body for shame.
Right.
And so we've got to let go of that shame, or let God take that shame. And so sometimes we will blame ourselves for things that's not our blame, that we're not at fault about. A lot of times we'll have a child that will maybe fail, or we'll make wrong choices, and then we'll think, oh God, it must have been me, it must have been what I did, I must have been a terrible mother. And we'll let the enemy just keep bombarding us with that until we have such low esteem ourselves that we lose that confidence God wants us to walk in Him. Because it's Him beginning to end. He's right. The beginning, He's the end, He's everything in between. And as soon as I think I can do anything to change it, or as soon as I think I can fix and make the answer be there, I'm walking in me again instead of letting God have that battle.
Yeah.
Because God says the battle is mine, and when we can truly commit it to Him, then we can walk in peace.
Yes.
And that's what we are after, is that place where we can walk in that peace with the Lord, that nothing can take us out of that place. No matter how bad the news is, no matter how bad the world gets, no matter what's going on around us, because that's what Paul and Silas and that's what the rest of them did, that knew how to stay in that place with God, where nothing caused them to get off base. Now, I'm going to correct that a little bit, because David was a man after God's own heart. I love the Psalms, because he does voice how troubled he was, how he was in despair, how all of these other things. But then the next verse or so, he'd be coming right back with how glorious God was and how God was the answer. So this is where that perseverance comes. And this is where that natural and spiritual wants to grind with each other an awful lot. Because we've got to learn to be spiritually minded, or we're going to be earthly minded. And guess what? That's not going to take us anywhere.
Right.
We're just going to stay here in the world's dictations, and we're going to live according to the world instead of according to God. So, but that was an excellent message. Very, very good.
Yeah, I came across, someone had said, and it just really spoke to me, because when you think about the crown of thorns, it was like, Jesus' crown of thorns went into the mind of Jesus, and it's like, we have the mind of Christ, and so everything that's in our natural mind, that crown of thorns, that was a representation of our newness of our mind in Him. So anything that we have in there that comes in conflict, that's negative, God's already done that. That was part of, that's why every part of His being, why the crown of thorns was also put on His head, I believe. I just thought that was kind of neat, because it's like when I'm praying and I have something that's coming in that's not of Him, it's like, God, you've already done that. I'm picturing the crown of thorns. He already did it. It's already finished. It's already done. I don't have to go there in my mind, because the crown of thorns with the blood cleansed that. And so that's just what I start thinking of now. It's like when a thought comes into my mind, it's like I picture that crown of thorns. It's already taken care of. That crown of thorns and the blood that flowed down into the mind of Jesus. I have the mind of Christ. In Him I live and move and have have His being, because of the blood that flows through us. Everything that He did with us was finished on the cross. That includes all that negativity of our minds. So,
Janice, I just preached on that, Romans 12, 1 and 2. Like being transformed by the renewing of your mind. That Greek word is the same Greek word that when Jesus was transfigured.
Mm.
And so our mind and our thinking has to be transfigured.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the old passed away, behold, all things have become new.
Yeah.
And just exactly like Jesus as He is, so are we.
Yes.
And so that's why the word is so important. important. Yeah. It's basically no longer natural, but our thinking and our mm-hmm. mind and the things that we speak should be supernatural yes. of what he says.
Right.
That's good.
Yeah, I think that probably one of the hardest transformations mm-hmm. is when we can begin to realize that it really isn't about us, period.
Yeah.
I mean, it, our natural man, everything's about us in our natural man. In our spiritual mind, everything is about God.
Right.
And so if we find ourselves dwelling on something that has upset me, and I'm reacting to it, and my mind is conjuring all the ways that I think I can either fix it or do something about it, I'm reasoning yeah. in my mind, and it's going to get me in trouble.
Yeah.
Because it's going to take me right out of the spiritual realm,
yeah.
and it's going to put things right back on me again. And God says, I'm the author, I'm the finisher, I'm the beginning, I'm the end. Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. And we've got to keep that concept in mind, that it is all about him and what he's done and his finished work. So get us out of the picture, and
that's right.
our part.
Yeah.
So.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, now comes, does anybody want prayer?
Yeah.
I do.
You do?
I need prayer for my daughter. She had a blood test done, and she had a UTI. They gave her antibiotics. Okay, that's okay. But when they did another blood test, her white blood cell count was way higher than it was before. But her red blood cell count is really good. They don't know what's wrong with her. Greg mentioned this morning about the vaccine. She